In this is also a panel on transitional justice. We have just one change. Mr. Lovro Sturm is unable to join us today. So there will be only three papers, or to be precise, two papers and a movie. Because of that, I will be more liberal than I was in the previous session, and each person could get as much as 5 extra minutes on the House. You're lucky. The first speaker is Jernej Letnar Černič, from the Law Institute in Slovenia, responding to crimes against humanity committed in Slovenia after the Second World War.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for the invitation and to the organizers for organizing this conference. It's always very nice to be back in Praga. Now, my topic is responding to crimes against humanity in Slovenia after the Second World War. And this topic represents one of the darkest chapters in the Slovenian history. Basically, what I'll do in my presentation is that in the first part, I'll talk about the facts, and I'll try to argue that the crimes committed after the Second World War basically amount to crimes against humanity. And in the second part, basically, I'll propose some normative responses to the crimes committed in Slovenia after the Second World War. But basically what I'm trying to say in my presentation and also in my paper is that normative response of the Slovenian state, of the Republic of Slovenia, to the crimes committed after the Second World War has been so far piecemeal, inadequate, insufficient, politically motivated, and not victims-orientated. But before that, allow me to read to you a news report from the Slovenian Times concerning a recent discovery of a mass grave site at Barbara Pit near Laško in Slovenia. On 3rd March this year, a mass grave site in Barbara Pit near Laško was discovered. Investigators and historians note that there were approximately 300 people found and killed in the aftermath of the Second War and then placed in that mine. Pathologist Jože Blažić described the crimes as follows. The scenes that we saw there indicate that the victims died in agony. All of the corpses were covered in lime, and position of the bodies seems to show that the victims continued to move for some time after they had been shot. And this is the mine which has been discovered only this year in March 2009. And you have to consider that those crimes were committed in July, June, and May 1945. So basically the mine was kept quiet for over 50 years. Now, what I want to do in my paper is basically first to talk about some historical background to understand when these crimes were committed. Basically, during the Second World War, Slovenia was occupied by three occupiers, Germans, Italians, and also Hungarians. And also during the Second World War, basically the Communist Party usurpated and monopolized the resistance movement in Slovenia. So basically, other groups were excluded from resistance movement against the occupator in Slovenia. And due to that, consequently, basically other forms of resistance were formed, also that basically fought the Communist Party. And because of that, the civil war basically was going on besides the resistance movement in Slovenia. And also what has to be said, that Slovenia is the only country which has been subjected to all three totalitarian regimes in the 20th century. First to fascism, then to Nazi crimes, and lastly to the longest lasting totalitarian regime, communist crimes. Now, as many as 100,000 persons are estimated to have been summarily executed after the Second World War in the territory of Slovenia. The exact number of the people basically executed is not unknown, but estimates vary from 100,000 to 130,000. And it is estimated that around 50,000 of those were of Slovenian nationality, and other persons were basically either Croats, Serbs, and also retreating German forces. Now, what is the most important is that those crimes have been committed at secret locations, in forests, caves, basically in unpopulated rural areas in Slovenia, in order basically to hide the crimes committed from the public opinion in Slovenia and Yugoslavia at large, but also from public opinion in Western Europe and at world, in world. So those, basically those locations were systematically chosen and acts were executed based on plan. And what I'm trying to say, that those crimes can be simply considered, easily considered as a crimes against humanity under the legal definition of crimes against humanity, which is that the crimes have to be committed systematically, and they have to be committed on widespread, in widespread manner against the civilian populations. And as you can see from the map, from the following slide, basically you can see that you can find secret mass grave sites all over Slovenia. And it's easy to talk about systematic nature of execution of those crimes. And basically they were committed against the civilian population. They were not only committed against the combat forces which fought the Communist Party, but also against the people and the families who were connected to those crime, to those people. So basically, no court was basically found out whether those crimes, whether the persons were civilians or they were combat forces. But regardless of that, I mean, this does not excuse the acts committed. And so far, the Commission for Mass Grave Sites of Slovenia, basically they found 600 locations in the whole territory of Slovenia, ranging from the south to the north to the center. But you can see the most mass graves are found close to what is now the border between Slovenia and Croatia. And it is probable that those people died in those locations were retreating Croatian Home Guards forces. Now the question is how to deal with those crimes. Should we just leave the history to tell the story of those crimes, or do we need some kind of normative response to the benefit of the victims of the crimes? Or should we prosecute people who are allegedly responsible for those crimes? Or should we establish a truth and reconciliation commission? Or should we just issue a declaratory statement of apology? Now, the prevailing opinion in Slovenia has been so far that basically no response is needed to those crimes. And most political actors in Slovenia basically do not condemn those crimes, especially on the part of the parties deriving from the former communism. But what is also interesting is that those crimes have not been basically condemned on official level by Slovenian parliament nor by Slovenian president. Only Slovenian government in 2007 issued a public apology to the victims and relatives of those crimes. And what I'm trying to argue is that a response is needed. Whether the response can be found in individual prosecutions or by constructing symbolic memorial sites or just constructing a museum of oral history or establishing a truth reconciliation commission. A response is needed, and what is most importantly is that victims should be treated equally, regardless on which side of the conflict in the Second World War they fought on. And this is also confirmed in the resolution of the Council of Europe, 1481, which basically said that the fall of totalitarian communist regimes in Central and Eastern Europe has not been followed in all cases by an international investigation of the crimes committed by them. Moreover, the authors of these crimes have not been brought to the trial by international community, as was the case with the horrible crimes controlled by National Socialism. And this is what is the case in Slovenia. Basically, there hasn't been any successful prosecution of alleged perpetrators of the crimes. The first prosecution basically started in 2005 5 against a person called Mitya Ribičić. And Mitya Ribičić was a high communist official in the former Yugoslavia. He was a deputy head of Yugoslav secret police in 1950s. And there have been indications and also some written proof that he has been involved or that he ordered the execution of 217 persons in one village in Slovenia. And on the basis of that, the criminal proceedings started against him, pre-trial criminal proceedings. And what happened is basically that the court refused to open an official investigation into his acts. Basically, the court confirmed that the Slovenian courts can prosecute crimes against humanity committed after the Second World War, but in that particular case, there was not enough written proofs. There was no probable cause that that person was involved in that crimes. And also, quite strange, the court basically refused to appoint a commission of a special team of historians which could provide a further evidence or further qualification whether this person was involved in those crimes or not. And this was the only kind of prosecution so far in Slovenia against a high former communist official for crimes committed during a totalitarian regime. Apart from that, there has been no official prosecutions. And one has to ask himself why is that there is no official prosecutions in Slovenia for the crimes committed during the totalitarian regime. And one of the reasons is basically that a lot of evidence are found in national archives, which were basically removed after the end of the totalitarian regime, meaning in 1990, removed from Ljubljana archives or removed from Belgrade archives. So basically, it's very hard to get your hands on the evidence and evidence which would implicate certain persons in those crimes. And a lot of these archives are basically found in the personal archives of some influential political persons in Slovenia, which refused to hand them to judicial authorities. And also, a lot of people are reluctant to give evidence, to talk about these events. I mean, there is still a culture of fear in Slovenia where people would go to the court and tell to the open court that they saw that this person was involved in that the person saw that a group of people was killed. And a lot of these suspects, victims, and other people are basically old. So people are dying off, and it's very hard to bring all the necessary puzzles to bring a successful prosecution before the court. Now, but there are also a number of positive developments in Slovenia, especially after the discovery in the March of this year, is that basically there is a wide condemnation in Slovenian public concerning these crimes. So basically, Slovenian public condemns these crimes on a wide scale. And basically, what is questionable is how to respond to these crimes. And one of the solutions could be also creation of a truth reconciliation commission. And then just recently, more than a year ago, a Slovenian Center for National Reconciliation was adopted and is full functioning right now. But from victims' perspective, I mean, there hasn't been no responses. And what is also interesting that just recently, Slovenian National Parliament, just a couple of weeks ago, adopted amendments to Victims of War Acts, basically the act which defines who is the war victim and who can be entitled for compensation and so on. And under this act, also the relatives of the people killed after the Second World War can be entitled for compensation. But what is kind of sad is the Slovenian parliament adopted amendment in this regard, which says that children of war victims, so people who were killed after the Second World War, can obtain compensation unless they fought, they voluntarily or professionally collaborated with the occupier. So basically, this law doesn't solve any situation in Slovenia. Basically, it divides again Slovenian society on the left and on the right. So, meaning that the persons who died on behalf of the partisan communist guerrillas, they are entitled for compensation, and persons who died on behalf of the so-called Home Guards are not entitled for compensation. And it has to be noted that the Slovenian Constitutional Court said in one of these decisions that the 9th May 1945 didn't mean liberation in Slovenia.
And in conclusion.
But it meant basically further occupation by the next totalitarian regime. So to conclude, I would say that responsibility does not depend on the side those guilty of war crimes fought on. And all persons have the right to a name and a grave. And what is necessary is to construct a simple and dignified memorials all across Slovenia where graveyards were found, which should carry the inscription "Victims of War and Post-War Killings in Public in Slovenia." Thank you very much.
Right, so we remain in Slovenia with Vida Dežalek Barlič, Barič, from the Institute of Contemporary History, Second World War victims and the revolution in Slovenia from the perspective of the systematic recordings of the victims.
Thank you. In Slovenia, the meaningful debates about the victims of World War II and the revolution did not begin until as late as the second half of the 1980s, when the political atmosphere began to relax and in light of the general crisis of the Yugoslav state. Later, these kinds of discussions resulted in significantly different circumstances, which came to pass with the attainment of the Slovenian independence in 1991 and the related democratization of the Slovenian political life. The new situation encouraged a powerful public and thus also political interest in the demands to examine the question of victims. In concrete circumstances that mostly involved discussing the victims of the Civil War that had been concealed for decades, that is the victims of the revolutionary violence during the war, the victims of the Civil War on the side of the counter-revolution, as well as the victims of mass massacres carried out by the revolutionary authorities after the war. Aiming to finally solve these issues of recent history, the National Assembly of the Republic of Slovenia established a commission for the exploration of post-war mass execution, legally dubious processes and other irregularities. Today we can establish that the issues concerning human casualties during the period of World War II and the post-war time remain as topical as they were two decades ago when they began to be talked about and discussed openly. In various debates, frequently professionally, politically, and emotionally heated, at least a part of the historical profession began to emphasize the urgency of dealing with the issue of victims scientifically. Thus, the starting point for the comprehensive consideration of the issue of victims would be defined, and the result would, of course, represent the ground for the comprehensive consideration of the complex issue that World War II is. Therefore, in 1995, the Institute for Contemporary History in Ljubljana proposed a project on the systematic survey of all the World War II victims. In this way, a national list of victims of World War II would be created, which would enable the precise definition of the character of World War II in Slovenian territory. The ethical importance of these endeavors should not be overlooked either. The Institute began to carry out this project in 1997. However, the list of victims in the the verification of data has not yet been complete to date. Therefore, the efforts of the Institute represent the first systematic approach to establishing the actual number of victims, the basic criterion defined during the planning of the project is the following: to establish all deaths caused by the wartime development, regardless of the status of the victims or the causes of death. In line with this criterion, the victims from the ranks of members of various armed formations, as well as civilians, have been taken into account. For every victim, attempts have been made to specify the cause of death, not in the sense of establishing personal responsibility, but by defining the institution responsible for deaths. The research has been limited to the territory of what is today the Republic of Slovenia. This research takes into account all victims regardless of their nationality, residents of the territory of today's Republic of Slovenia in April 1941. That is, at the onset on the attack against Yugoslavia. Thus, this research doesn't take into account the death among the German, Italian, and Hungarian armies or the occupiers' administration apparatus in the Slovenian territory. That would involve a lot of work in foreign archives and especially financial resources. It also doesn't include the victims of mass killings in the end of the war, carried out by the Yugoslav army against the members of various armed formations from Croatia, Serbia, Bosnia and Herzegovina and other parts of Yugoslavia in the Slovenian territory as these formations were retreating towards Austria. The list of all these victims would significantly exceed the established criteria. The beginning of the time frame of the victims taken into account has been defined with April 1941, when the attack against Yugoslavia had already resulted in the first deaths. The ending date is January 1946. In this way, this survey includes all wartime victims as well as the last of the post-war killings that can still be the result of the wartime developments. The basic goal of the project is to draw up as precise a list of victims' names as possible. The reliability of the list can be ensured, especially with the precise identification of every individual victim. Therefore, for every victim, more than 20 categories of data is recorded in so far as they can be established, which make up the so-called personal information sheet for every individual victim. The identification of victims is made up by the personal data and information elaborating on the broader circumstance of death. The gathered information is entered into the computer database entitled Casualties among the population in the territory of the Republic of Slovenia during World War II and immediately after it. We should mention that the realization of this project depends on the extremely prices and long-term efforts. In the European context, it can be, with regards to methodology, compared with especially to the project of the Italian Institute from Udine. The realization of the project took place in three stages. At the first stage, the focus was on the gathering of information on basis of a systematic examination of literature and printed sources. The second stage faced the review of relevant archives collections. The third stage encompasses the evaluation of the list of victims derived from the computer database on the basis of a systematic review of central registers. Here we should emphasize that the assistance of the state and the archive profession legally enabled to the examination of central register otherwise unavailable for the duration of the 100 years due to an assistance that this Currently, this includes more than 95,000 victims, which represents a loss of 6.4% of the world population. The most numerous group of victims consists of members of partisan units. This significant number of losses among the partisans speaks volumes about the devotion involved in the resistance against the occupiers, as well as about the losses that the partisan army suffered during the four-year-long struggle due to training inferior to the regular units of the occupiers. Therefore, especially from the point of view of human life loss, the issue of reasonableness of an early radical resistance against the occupiers could be raised. The proof of significant losses among the partisan army are one of the surprising results of the project, since previously these losses had been estimated at about 10,000 victims less, meaning that the victorious side never even listed their own losses. The second category with regard to the number of victims is represented by civilians. The victims from their ranks amount to almost 42% of all human losses. The percentage of losses of various home guard, anti-partisan and anti-communist units follow in the amount of almost 15%. We also have to underline the people mobilized into German, Italian and Hungarian armies. The victims in this military formation amounted to a bit over 11%. However, contemporary judgments about the character of World War II in Slovenia have mostly been made while recognizing the dimensions of the issues pertaining to victims of the internal struggle among Slovenians during the occupation. among others, this struggle was the result of different opinions about the meaningfulness of the early and radical resistance against the occupation. While the Liberation Front of Slovenian Nation established the initiative of the Communist Party of Slovenia, insisted on immediate resistance, the so-called bourgeois camp rejected such drastic measures. Traditional political parties believed that early resistance in the time when Germany was at the peak of its power would result in too many casualties, since the resistance would be followed by ruthless repressions, which indeed happened. They also saw the revolutionary goals on the Communist Party in the background of the forced resistance. Executions undertaken quite early by the Communist intelligence and security service only confirmed these fears. The irreconcilable oppositions led to civil war and collaboration of a percentage of Slovenians with the occupation authorities. Another moment in the deliberations about World War II and the subsequent regime has to do with the events that took place immediately after the war. Like in other countries, fighting in the war, the post-war retaliation of the victorious side against the defeated also took place in Slovenia. Due to strategic location of Slovenia, these reprisals were especially bloody in its territory, since here various military formations opposing the Yugoslav army led by Josip Broz Tito ended up. The retreat of these formations had also been joined by large numbers of civilians. Tens of thousands of people lost their lives without any legal proceedings. What is specific for the Slovenian circumstance is their eradication from public memory. The crimes committed by the new Yugoslav authorities against their own citizens with mass extrajudicial executions were made even worse by the authorities commanding silence in denying these citizens the right to their own graves. Research carried out until now showed that around 600 hidden grave sites exist in the territory of Slovenia. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Right, so next we have some explanation, and then there's a movie, and this will all reaffirm what we know about the Czech language, that it is the mother of all other languages, because the movie, and I understand some of the comments will be in Romanian, they will be translated to Czech, and then from Czech to German and to English. That's reaffirming the importance of Czech, or not. Okay, yeah. So it will be Romanian to Czech, and then Czech to English and German. Right, okay.
Sorry for that. There's technical problems, as you can see. my speech will be in Romanian, because practically I'm obliged in a technical way to do that, also because of the movie, also because my English is not so appropriate for such a delicate subject. Institutul de investigație al crimelor comunismului în România a fost creat în 2005. Scopul nostru... Oh, it's something is happened there.
She hasn't just started to say.
Okay. Sorry. But I can speak in English, it's not a problem. Okay. The Romanian Institute for the Investigation of Communist Crimes was created in 2005. Our purpose is very clear. By the law, we must found the victims, we must identify the criminals, and after that to build, let's say, files, and to put the files in front of the prosecutors. The first step, it's okay. We found a lot of victims. We have a long list, more than 700,000 people who are imprisoned. We have documents and files for them. But we don't have the list of the former officers of the Securitate. It's very difficult to identify the criminals. But let the music play now and to see the movie, and after that explanation.
Avem o problemă.
Anume.
Nu există hârleț.
Da, dar aveți voi ceva hârleț?
Da, cu frate, mă duc.
Trebuie să stabilească, să păzească perimetrul.
I want to speak during the movie, if it's possible.
Lască, dacă vii mâine, îl vezi cum stau, o să-ți spus toate șoșie.
We have a good shovel for digging. We start to dig and to find the victims. This is one of the best archaeologists from Romania. It's our colleague now. We know before to dig what the name of the
people.
Those victims was shot by the Securitate illegally. By our estimation, there are between
Îți rămâne nos chiar dacă trebuie.
Da, luăm pușcate în 20 ori, cum ne 48, zile pieri.
By our estimation, there are between 8,000 and 10,000 people who was executed illegally by the Securitate. We collect all the objects. It will be an exhibition with all the objects we find, and will be an exhibition in 3 weeks with all the objects from the graves.
Nu te mai trezi.
You can see.
Trebuie să ne facem belt și să ne tatuăm ceva pe ele, știi, ca să știm.
La spargere?
Nu, la spargere.
Nu era tot atât.
La Maia, la București, la Bratov, la Isi.
Aha.
Și hai, bă, dacă ne rog. M-a rugat un coleg din București.
Predoc, nu te mai trezesc. N-a te
Nu, cu asta e mai inferioară.
Deci asta cât ai?
4. Nu, nu, nu.
Nu, e mai mare.
Nu, nu.
Mai de jos.
Da, asta nu-i fractură de,
nu, era, da,
de traumă directă.
It's a criminalist from the judiciary police. After we found a body, we asked to the police and to the prosecutors to come. A military prosecutor. Relatives. You see the bullets. It's reburied in cemetery. Those songs, they are from that area, they are burial songs. When we go in a village, doesn't matter where, the peasants, they are very helpful. We don't need to have our workers, and they don't ask for money, they don't ask for nothing. More than that, they bring us the food. She has some tears in the eyes.
Păi le va lua Marius cu siguranță.
In that grave there are two together. One of them, Petru Anculia, he was shot, and after that his body was exposed in the center of the village, but he was crucified, practically crucified, and he was led for a week to be seen by all the people from the village.
Ai înțeles ce zicem noi acum? Ei umblând pe munți și...
Păi trimit procuratura și îi prind pe aia care au făcut. Și dacă nu-i arestezi și dacă nu ți-i bagi...
Now I'm very nervous because of the prosecutors, because they don't want to come. I can't explain.
Ce?
Nu
o să facă nimic. Nu, păi asta vă spun, că nu face...
Să facă cine știi.
Să facă cine știi.
Ce sfârșire e? Da, bă, dar păi mașină, dar
nu-l
cunosc. Nu-l cunosc. Nu-l cunosc. Nu-l cunosc. Nu-l cunosc. Nu-l cunosc. Nu-l cunosc. Probably or a nail or
a spatule, bagă-le în plasa neagră.
Da, nu.
Și după aia l-au trecut pe acolo și i-au bătut cu nimeni.
Thank you.
Na tebo cincu trâmbița, te plânge toată lumea.
Photos of those who was killed. The second one was a captain in a Royal Guard, and rumors said, because he was Anna Pauker, he was in love of him. You can see how many peasants come with us, up in the mountains, not for a few meters. An old woman tell us precisely the place. As you can see, it's not so. Was put across, but in the area. We found them almost 60 meters farther of the cross. Oh. That was in I don't remember when, but you can calculate it by my hair. I think in March or April. They was only 40 centimeter deep. Yes, one of them. He was a Canadian citizen, and he comes back in Romania, unfortunately, after the war in 45. He became partisan and he was killed. Finally, the militia, excuse me, policia, but it's the same. They come after 2 days. We was 2 days in the forest with three bodies. As you can see, it's not easy. My driver. Petru Titan was with was his colleague, and he was shot. You can see maybe the, he tell us a lot of stories. First we try to identify the relatives, witnesses. He was partisan also, but he survived. He was shot in the back. Titan was killed with a grenade because of that had it explode. But they throw a grenade in inside of the his place. And the Securitate forces asked to his brother to bury him. A child comes with the flowers from the forest. Was a shock for me. Speak 2 minutes more. Okay, 2 minutes. Now we can move back. Our problem in our investigation is very simple. We found the victims. We have in those cases, we identified also three former Securitate officers as a killer. In those cases. We present all the documents to the prosecutors and nothing has happened. Practically, we are in a strange situation and this is a common one in all our countries. We have a lot of victims, but the criminals are on the street. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We have almost 20 minutes for questions, so who would like to start? Right, so this group of three here.
I would like to ask a question on the political significance of all these acts, especially in Slovenia, because you have these massive acts of revenge after a civil war. Huh? Same case in France with less victims, perhaps 10,000 victims of savage épuration sauvage, savage cleansing. Huh? Or in Italy, or in Poland,
spontaneous sort of transitional justice.
Pardon?
Spontaneous transitional
yes,
justice.
It's not just, I mean, you can regard it as a violation of human rights, but it's also, it's the outcome of a civil war. I mean, is the human rights conception seems a bit poor for me to approach these problems. And the second question related is, where do you put these victims in relation to the victims of the other side? I address this question for Germany, the victims of national socialism and the victims of the Soviet occupation forces, or the GDR, who were sometimes kept in the same camps in Buchenwald, for instance. And part of them had been members of the National Socialist Party. I say only part of them, of course. I say the other side, the victims of the other. Which place do you give? I mean, it's a political question. Which place do you give these victims? Two sides of a civil war.
And, okay. Thank you very much for three very good papers. Jonathan from Ireland. I have a question both for Jurnai and Marius. First, Jurnai. You said that the court failed to appoint a commission of historians. Did they give any reasons to back that up? And for Marius then, you said your commission was set up in 2005. And I was just wondering, was there any work being done before 2005 in finding the victims' graves?
My question is to Mr. Oprea. I'm unclear as to how you knew where the bodies were located, and also if there is a possibility of using cadaver dogs, as is done when people are abducted. Thank you.
As to the first question, my opinion, opinion of other scholars and human rights lawyers in Slovenia or elsewhere, is that all victims should be treated equally, irregardless on which side they fought on, or irregardless on which side killed them. So what I'm trying to argue, also in my paper, in my presentation, is that victims of the communist partisan forces should be given equal status to the victims of the Nazi forces during and also after the Second War in Slovenia. And this is not the case. It's not the case even now, 2009, where the Slovenian parliament just a couple of weeks ago said basically that the victims which were killed by the communists are not the same to the victims killed by Nazi forces. I mean, to me, as a human rights lawyer, and a Slovenian of a new generation, this doesn't make sense. It's not logical. It's not moral. And somebody will have to change this situation. If it won't be this generation, which is not right now in power in Slovenia, it will be my generation or generation of my children. Somebody will have to deal with that. I mean, the point is that the victims should be treated equally. And it doesn't matter who killed the victims. You know, everybody deserves a right to grave, right to the status. And in Slovenia, you have graveyards, like in rural areas in Slovenia, where nobody knows who is buried there, who was killed there, when they were killed. So it's not moral, illogical, it's also not legally correct. Now, for the second question is, as for the appointment of the Commission of Historians in the case against Mitja Ribičić, basically, the court just simply dismissed this proposal by the state prosecutor, saying that there is no need in that stage of proceedings to appoint an expert commission, because there is enough evidence that that particular person, Mr. Ribičić, was not involved. I mean, there was enough evidence, the court said, that the probable cause was not proved and couldn't be proved even in the future prosecutions. So, I mean, you can find your opinion on this conclusion. So that's mine.
Okay. Before 2005, wasn't any case, wasn't anything on that. But I was in front of the prosecutors many times with documents about the crimes. And one of the prosecutors in a moment, I think, was in 98 or 99, start to laugh. "My dear Marius," he said, "doesn't matter for us. Documents? It's a shit of a document. It's impossible to have a crime if you don't present us the body." And okay, I tell to myself. And I start to think. And when I had the possibility, a political possibility, I asked the Prime Minister to help me to create that institute. That was in December 2005. Practically, the institute was in function in June 2006. And after that, also, we dedicated a lot of time for the documentation, because it's not so easy. But in practice, we have a lot of work to do on that. There are not only those who was killed illegally by the Securitate. There are more than 40,000. We don't know precisely, but for sure, more than 40,000 who has died in prisons or in camps. We identified the cemeteries. We identified also some strange places. We found, for example, near to the to a railroad, 9 bodies of children from the 80s, without any cross, without anything. They was buried there because they was took from the street by the militia, and they was transported. Children let thrown out from the houses by the parents. And there was militia. Don't want to have something like that on street. And they create special places called minor centers. And by forensic analysis, those 9 children was died by starving. Those kind of excavations was stopped by the authorities on that moment, and they indicate us to focalize on the past. Okay, on the past, not in 80s, because it's dangerous. Those kind of crimes can be punished. Okay, and after that we start those kind of actions. Our institute is basically similar with Wiesenthal Committee in one sense. And now for the second, practically we are the dogs, you know, because we know precisely the place. As you can saw, the hole is not so big, you know. That is for 3 reasons, practically. First, our documentation in the archives. Second, documentation on the field with interviews. We try to find the relatives, witnesses. And after that, my personal, my first specialization was in archaeology. Now I'm doctor in contemporary history, specialized in history of the Securitate. It's long itinerary on. And I decided to put them together, my experience in the archaeology and my experience in Securitate files and okay. And also I have a very good assistant, very good archaeologist for us to identify a grave in a forest. It's easy because we was prepared for that. Gitsa Petrov, which is at the same age with me, because we are the older in the institute. Majority are they are very young. He's the best, I think. He digged till now more than 3,000 graves, but from the Middle Age. It's something different. Now we know the identity of the body from the archives, from the relative. Now we have a lot of memories a lot of people who ask us, give us back relatives, give me my father back. I'm not interested to punish somebody. I want to have him in a family grave, not in backyard or in forest.
Right. We should have time for 2 more questions. Over there in the back.
Mm-hmm. Nadia Chushak, University of Melbourne. I have a question for the first speaker. Can you please tell me, is the legal status of Slovenian Home Guard members is legalized in Slovenia at the moment? And what's the attitude of Slovenian society towards this question in general, and what's your personal attitude towards this? Thanks.
And one more, perhaps? All right, so we'll do that and then we'll have coffee.
This is quite a controversial question in Slovenia, but I would say that, I mean, home guards are not legally regulated in Slovenia. I mean, just maybe I should explain who are they. Basically, they were a militant group who basically for the communist resistance movement in Slovenia during the Second World War. And a lot of them, they were then executed in the killings after the Second War in Slovenia. And the legal status of Home Guards, I mean, they're not regulated as such, but some legislation basically refers also to victims. For example, Victims of War Act basically refers to them as well, and the Victims of War Violence also refers to that category of victims. But what is interesting, as I said before, the parliament, just Slovenian National Parliament, just recently adopted a law which said that children of victims who fought as a Home Guards in the Second World War are not entitled for compensation and other like social security benefits under the Slovenian legislation, whereas victims of the Nazi crimes are, and also victims of Home Guards are entitled to those compensation. And the situation in Slovenia is quite difficult, because Slovenian society is still divided into two poles, basically a left-wing, a former communist one, and what could be described as a non-communist one. So basically in the parliament what you have is that amendment just a few weeks ago, they were just overvoted, you know. There was not consensus to adopt amendments in such a form as they were adopted. And I mean, still basically Slovenian society is divided in half, and one part of society views Home Guards as enemies of the partisans during the Second World War. The other part basically just views them as basically that those persons were just expressing their right to not to join the resistance movement controlled by Communist Party, and not to basically to fight Communist Party during the Second War, to fight for a pluralistic Slovenia. But it has to be said that also Home Guards committed some grave crimes during the Second War in Slovenia. And what I said before, all crimes which were committed in Slovenia during and after the Second World War have to be equally condemned. And the problem is in Slovenia, they are not equally condemned. The crimes by former partisan communist forces are regarded as better crimes. You know, they're not as equally condemned as the crimes committed by Home Guards or by Nazi occupiers. And some parts of Slovenian society and also politicians in Slovenia say that communism was not a totalitarian regime. The communism was something better than Nazism and fascism. And myself, of course, I disagree with that. I say that all three regimes were equally violent, and they should be condemned in equally fierce manner. No?
All right. Thank you very much. Then now we have almost 20 minutes for coffee. Be back here at 4:30 sharp.